This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Jeffrey Kirby of Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church of Indian Land, South Carolina.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, Team Grace, we are in ordinary time, and normally what that means here at Our Lady of Grace is that we dive into the scripture readings of the Mass. We walk through each part of the Mass and the readings of the Mass and try to understand their connection. But we know right now that we are in a national Eucharistic revival. In observance of that, we've been suspending our normal ordinary time walk through the scriptures, and instead we've been having this series on the parts of the Mass and on the part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the Eucharist. But today the Holy Father has declared this Word of God Sunday. So I want us to pause our series. We'll start that next week, And instead I want us to do what we normally do in ordinary time, and I just want us to walk through the scriptures. The reason why I want to do this is to remind you how the scriptures are selected by the church in order to encourage you to prepare well for Mass, to understand that in the Mass readings we can find an opportunity to dive into the Word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, and also that might serve as an encouragement to you in your own personal reading at home of studying and of reading and studying the sacred scriptures. So with that, if you could join me in your Credo Missal on page 834. So you open there to page 834. We have the readings for this third Sunday in Ordinary Time, again, also called Word of God Sunday. So page 834. And as we normally do, we're just going to walk through the readings and try to see their connections. First, let me just state the obvious, that Mother Church does not simply just grab scriptures and throw them into the Mass. There's actually centuries upon centuries of discernment and study, and then the Church comes up with the lectionary in order for us to dive into the best parts of the scriptures and to see them, how they are connected. So if we go to our first reading, we see our first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. Now, we know that there are 73 books in the entire Bible, and there are 46 books in the Old Testament. Now, I was just going to ask you that before reminding you, huh? But I know it's been a little while. So let me ask you now that I've given you the reminder. How many books are in the total Bible? How many are in the Old Testament?
46.
All right, great. And we know that the Old Testament, those 46 books, they're divided into four major parts. So you have the Pentateuch, then you have the historical books, the wisdom literature, and then the prophetic books. And the prophetic books, there are 18 of them. So the 46 books of the Old Testament contain 18 prophetic books. So how many books in the entire Bible?
73.
How many in the Old Testament?
46.
How many prophetic books?
Excellent.
Look at you, Team Grace. Watch out, huh? So these 18 prophetic books include the prophet Isaiah. In fact, the prophet Isaiah is the largest of the prophetic books. At 66 chapters, it's actually even one of the largest books of the Bible. The prophet Isaiah was allowed by God to see so many things in salvation history. He warned God's people, reform, turn back to God. They would not listen. God's people were sent into exile in Babylonia. And in Babylonia, the prophet Isaiah reminded God's people, repent and turn back to him, and he'll bring us back home. And then after they repented, God brought his people back to the promised land. The prophet Isaiah was able to see all of those events. And throughout them, he was speaking on behalf of God. Words of encouragement, words of correction, words of admonition, words of promise. And of course, we have a portion of the prophet Isaiah today. Let's see what the prophet has to say to us. So here in our first reading, we see that he has some strong words for the tribal areas of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, there were 12 tribes of Israel. This is two of them, Zebulun and Naphtali. This is in the northern part of the Promised Land. And we know they had begun to engage in idolatry, to abandon the covenant of God. And the prophet here says that if they continue, then there will be discipline inflicted upon them. The people of God did not listen. They didn't listen. And so instead, we start to see this discipline brought upon them. And then the prophet tells us, not only is he announcing to Zebulun and Naphtali words of reconciliation, but he's even turning to the Gentiles and welcoming them. And he's saying that the people in darkness have seen a great light, that those who have engaged in idolatry, who are away from the covenant of God, who are engaged in all type of moral licentiousness, that they have been announced, good news has been announced to them, that they can leave that darkness and they can come into the light. And if they leave the darkness and walk into the light of the Lord, then what had been discipline can now become blessing. So if they're willing to repent and to trust God, then God wants to bless them. And we can see this movement here in the selection of the prophet Isaiah. All right, now we know that the Old Testament of the Mass points us to the gospel. So our old reading, First Testament, our first reading is almost always from the Old Testament. Only during the Easter season is it from Acts of the Apostles. So mainly and predominantly from the Old Testament. And it points us to the gospel. And there the church is showing us the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That there's a dynamics. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't like the Old Testament. You can't say that, dear friends. That's the word of God, right? Or sometimes people will say, well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. Well, that's blasphemy. There's only one God, living and true. There's only one plan of salvation. Two testaments. And the Old Testament and the New Testament, they interact with one another. And the more we know that, the more we can understand what God's trying to teach us, and we can see how God teaches us. So we see this dynamics. The early fathers of our faith said that the Old Testament is made manifest in the New, and the New Testament is hidden in the Old. So our task as we dive into the Word of God is to try to see that, to understand what God is teaching us. How has he been preparing us for the coming of the Messiah? How has he been teaching us? So the Old Testament points us to the gospel. Old Testament reading today, the prophet Isaiah has some strong words for Zebulun and Naphtali. Let's go to our gospel reading. So our gospel reading, we of course are in the gospel of Matthew. Our gospel and our Sunday readings are on a 3-year cycle based on the 3 synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So right now we're in Matthew's year. So we're hearing a lot from Matthew. We're going to hear a lot more from Matthew during this liturgical year. And look what Matthew begins. He starts by taking us to the prophet Isaiah. So you can tell that Matthew is writing to Jewish Christians. In fact, a portion of what Matthew is quoting is actually from our first reading today at Mass. And Matthew is trying to show that what God did to the prophet Isaiah is Zebulun and Naphtali, Jesus is doing the same, but infinitely more. So Jesus is fulfilling the prophetic work of the prophet Isaiah. And he's doing more. Because not only is Jesus going to Zebulun and Naphtali to the north, but he's going to everyone. And he's brought his apostles with him. And they are announcing good news. And they're healing the sick. And they are once again calling all people out of darkness into God's light. Listen to the words of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. So oftentimes people will say, why do certain priests always talk about confession? Go to confession, go to confession. Go to confession is the contemporary version of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? So here the Lord is speaking. That is his first message. Because if we're not willing to walk in the light of the Lord, his grace cannot work in us. He is calling us out of darkness. Darkness of our own sinfulness, darkness of our own way of thinking, darkness of the world. We have to be willing to trust in God, abandon our own desires, die to ourselves, and follow what he is teaching us. We can't believe in the wayward ideologies of this world that come and go. We can't believe in the fickleness of our own heart. We have to rely on the grace of God and the clear teachings that God has given to us in his covenant. And if we do that, then we can leave darkness and walk in his light. Now, once we understand that the first reading points us to the gospel, and we see this dynamics between the Old Testament and the New Testament, then we can go to our second reading. Our second reading is always either an application to our discipleship or a theological explanation of what we just heard. And the second reading is always taken from one of the 21 apostolic letters of the New Testament, 21 of them. The majority written by St. Paul, but 7 of them written by other apostles. Mother Church draws from one of these letters, again, to either explain something theologically or to apply the readings to our discipleship. Let's look at what St. Paul has to say to us today. St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. This is his first letter to them. Do you have to tell you, Team Grace, the faith was eventually lost in Corinth. St. Paul here is fighting for the faith. It's a port city. They thought they knew better. They constantly waged war and rebelled against the apostolic authority. Paul is fighting for them. He writes a second letter. Do you know St. Peter's successor, our fourth pope, Pope Clement, writes another letter to the Corinthians saying, get your act together. And the Corinthians eventually abandoned the faith. The faith is lost in Corinth. But here Paul is fighting for it. He's trying to teach them. Let's listen to what he says. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. So St. Paul is there asserting what I was preaching last week. which is we're called to be a community, we're called to be a people, we're called to be a parish. We have to make an individual decision to leave the darkness and follow the light. But once we do that, we're not walking alone. Any Christian or any family that thinks that they can follow the Christian way of life by themselves, they're foolish, they're liars, and they are deceived. We have been called into a people of the covenant. We are called to walk in the light together. And we can only persevere in the light together. We can only fight against the darkness together. We have to be of one mind and of one purpose. St. Paul here goes on to warn about division. Let me clarify. Division isn't when someone speaks truth and other people don't like it. That's not division. That's dissension. Division is when the truth is spoken and other people come up with variations or falsities of the truth. That's division, false teaching. The two things that Paul most admonishes, division and false teachers. St. Paul tells us that the false teachers, they have itchy ears. Itchy ears, it's an idiom. It means that they're willing to change and do whatever is necessary in order to get people to listen to them, to get people to follow them, to support them, to love them. Itchy ears of a preacher, a false teacher, is able because of itchy ears among listeners. These are people who want to change the gospel. Hey, you know what? Don't worry about the cross. You don't have to worry about that. Do whatever you want. You're wonderful. God loves you, and you don't have to reciprocate any of that love. You're great, just as you are. Go out there. Woo-hoo! You see? You see how successful false teachers are? So many people with itchy ears are willing to follow false teachers with itchy ears. St. Paul warns against them. He warns us against them. And he warns against division. We are to be of one mind and of one purpose. If we are going to persevere in the light of the Lord, and if we are going to be able to fight the darkness of the fallen world. So that's our second reading. So now, Team Grace, you see the movement. And we've gone over this before. The first reading from the Old Testament to the Gospel, and then to the second reading. Now, again, with that reminder, I want to encourage you that as we move forward, heed what the church is saying. That as disciples, we are called to study and to know the sacred scriptures. So I'm going to ask you, try to come to Mass early, or maybe carve out time during the week. Take that 10 or 20 minutes to look at the scripture readings of the Sunday Mass. This can be one way in which you study and know the sacred scriptures. Because next week, we're going to continue our series. We have to go over the catechism on the Eucharist, and we have to go through the parts of the Mass. Now I'm encouraging you in your discipleship to continue to study the sacred scriptures. Now, of course, that starts at the Mass. It's the most important thing we do. But I also want you to be reading the Bible at home. Well, I have to mention that right now we're in the year of Matthew in the liturgy, in the sacred liturgy. So I want to encourage you in your own reading of the sacred scriptures. Perhaps pick up the Gospel of Matthew. And if Matthew seems overwhelming, then read Mark. Mark's Gospel is the shortest, and some say the easiest to read. So whatever it might be, however you might be studying the scriptures, I want to encourage you to make sure you're doing that. And if you need help, you can look at any number of resources, or you can email myself or Deacon Doc, and we're happy to give you some help. Because it's so important, dear friends, that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we listen to what he commands us, and that we study the sacred scriptures. That's the Word of God Sunday. Now, you know what the church tells us? That the best example of the Word of God is the lives of the saints. We can look at each one of these saints and see manifestations of what it means to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to just emphasize to each of us here at Our Lady of Grace how blessed we are to have a relic of Padre Pio. Do you know how popular Padre Pio is? We better be careful because there might be 100 old Italian women who might come here and try to beat us up, right? And take our relic. Padre Pio is hugely, hugely popular. It took us years of requests and petitions for us to be granted the blessing of receiving a relic of Padre Pio. So this relic is going to be here in our place of worship. I encourage you again to nurture devotion to Padre Pio. He was given powerful gifts. He could read hearts. He had the holy stigmata, the wounds of Christ. He could levitate, heal. He could do powerful things, amazing things, prophecy, so many mystical things. But you know, when they asked Padre Pio about all these things, what is it like to have all these supernatural, mystical signs and wonders being done in you through God? Padre Pio said, "I am the first witness in wonder at what God does through me. And none of this compares to being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ." He had the first things first. All these mystical gifts, God gave to this servant in order to remind us of the power that we have in accepting to leave the darkness and walk in the light of being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Padre Pio is amazing, not because he had all these mystical visions and supernatural powers. He's amazing because he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and his whole life was an oblation, a sacrifice, to follow the gospel. In that way, dear friends, this servant of God, this saint, is an older brother to us and a model to each of us of what it means to leave the darkness, to follow the light of the Lord, to be a living oblation, and to be a follower of Jesus Christ and be saved by his blood.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.